Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the have called me to this passage, and I
Welcome to Eagles in Flight Hour, Apostle Marcus Dupree.
Purposely in the prayer, we thank God for each and every one of you here that's coming to join us tonight. And welcome to the blog hour. Amen. We're going to go forth tonight and enter in the Lord's presence and allow Him to minister to us tonight. We just invite you all just to tune in and kick your shoes off, just relaxing, but be attentive. Amen. Don't get so relaxed. But at the same time, be relaxed enough to hear the word. But thus saith the Lord, in this time is our, and receive truly what the Lord has for you. Amen. And as we go forward, let's go to the throne of grace. And Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We give you praise, give you glory and honor. We thank you for this opportunity we have, Lord God, to share your word tonight. And we thank you for a revelation of knowledge, the truth of your word to come forth in Jesus' name. Thank you for clarity, give for understanding. Thank you for answers to questions in our heart. And we thank you right now for clarity as well in Jesus' name. Reveal yourself through your word, Lord God. We, as we stand ready tonight, let us hear what the Spirit is saying tonight. Let us hear truly your heart and to the body, and even for what you want to say and do in this hour. In this time, as we be attentive to hear, Lord God, we thank you for giving us strength, even tenacity, even the heart to stand in our places, Lord God, and do what you called us to do in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord God, not to be weary in how we are doing. But Lord, we thank you as we continue to trust you and stand with you, Lord God. Thank you for bringing everything to pass in Jesus' name. Thank you for the empowerment for the hour. And we thank you, Lord God, for the great things that you have in store for us. And as we surrender to you, Lord, that we should be able to hear and even embrace the moment in you for all that you're about to do, Lord God, and whatever you're about to do. Lord God, that we should be attentive to your spirit as we move along with you. Thank you for impact tonight. In Jesus' name, do what you desire to do in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for even the passion, Lord God, that it takes to bring forth your word, that we shall be ready and excited about what you're saying and what you're doing in this time and hour, Lord God. Thank you for impact. Thank you for manifestation. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, for those things that you're going to do, Lord God, that's going to help set things in order. As we come attentive tonight, thank you for change happening even as we speak right now. So, Lord God, we thank you for the empowerment in this hour. Thank you for lifting us up higher, taking us to a greater place in you, Lord God, greater place in your glory, greater place in your heart, greater place even in this earth realm. Thank you for the supernatural. Thank you for bringing forth things to pass that you've spoken, that you've promised, the promises of the word, of the word of God, that are amen. Yes and amen, excuse me. So we thank you, Lord God, for the impact of your word tonight, that our hearts are open to receive that which you have for us. Thank you right now for you as you continue to do a great work in us, Lord God. Thank you for the preparation, Lord God. Thank you for the heart, even as we prepare ourselves, Lord God. Even the mindset, even the will to listen. Not only the will to listen, but to go forth and do what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, so Lord, we thank you for our obedience. It's truly better than sacrifice. And we thank you right now as we come into divine alignment with your word, your purpose, your plan for our lives, that we shall see truly what you desire for us to see, Lord. And we thank you in advance for what you're about to do, that your word is true, Lord God. Join us, Lord God, and as you continue to join us together as one, as we walk as one body, one accord. Thank you for divine assignments, Lord God. As we go forth together, Lord God, to go forth to do your will in the mission that you have before us. Thank you for leading us in all truth in Jesus' name, that we should not go in fear or doubting, but we should go strong in faith. We should be strong in faith, Lord God, and even divine expectation of what you're about to do. So we thank you in advance right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Do what you desire to do. Let your impact be made tonight as we come to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Let us be ready to go forth and be obedient and do what you call us to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, Jesus, increase that we decrease now. Jesus, increase that we decrease now. Jesus, increase that we decrease now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, move as you desire tonight. We're ready. Our hearts are open to receive, and we're looking forward to what you're about to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, hallelujah, amen, amen. Amen. So welcome tonight as we go forth tonight. Come together in the Lord's word as we come in a spirit of expectation. We're looking forward to what God is about to do tonight. For anyone who is on the line and you're on a computer, you're listening by blog or on a computer, you desire to call in. The number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, and press 1 to get in the queue box, amen, so you can ask questions, make a request, whatever it is you have us to do. I mean, you desire to do, amen, you can do it at the time, any comments or questions, especially. So we're just going to look forward to what God is going to do in this time, this hour. So we just actually prepare your hearts as the word gets ready to go forth. And as we take a turn tonight, let's go in the word of God to Exodus, the book of Exodus, 33. Okay. All right. And verse 1 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, saying, to thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." NLT version in that verse 3, "Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey, but I will not travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I did, I would surely destroy you along the way." Sorry, I had to laugh at that because, wow. Amen. So, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord has said unto Moses, "Say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come unto the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off the ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee." The children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the mountain of Horeb. Amen. That verse 6 again says, in the NLT version says, so from the time they left Mount Sinai, the Israelites wore no more jewelry or fine clothes. Amen. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, and afar from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door in the tabernacle of the Lord and talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people arose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Amen. And we're talking about, tonight we're going to talk about our experience, as I put it to words, face-to-face with the Lord. We're going to talk about faith being face-to-face with the Lord. Face-to-face experience, I should say. Face-to-face experience. When we talk about the face-to-face experience, we're talking about, here's something special that Moses has done that no one has ever, been recorded about having experience with God. All the other prophets have been used by God in awesome different ways, but he said he speak to Moses as a friend. Moses was face to face with God. You know, as we look at this thing, Moses had a huge task to lead a people, his generation of people, they came out of slavery into a new place. And a place for a new covenant, a new beginning, a new start. And sometimes in our walk, it's kind of hard leaving the old and coming into the new. That's true. Because sometimes we're so used to the old, even if it's good or bad, we're so used to the old that it's hard to kind of accept the new. Many people who have been using it, have been caught in abusive situations where things have happened. We're talking about face-to-face. We're talking about face-to-face with the Lord here, face-to-face relationship with the Lord. Amen. So as we talk about this face-to-face relationship with the Lord that Moses had, he had a big task, a huge task. I mean, and for him to have to do all that was done, it was a lot for one person to do. Many people have had experiences that it was very hard for them. Very challenging on many different sides, coming out of all abusive situations where they've been done certain kind of ways, and the fact of the matter is, change for some people is very hard. Change is very, very challenging. Just to come out of an old state, old mindset, a way of thinking, it takes a lot. Because we have to be willing to break the pattern that we have laid. We have to be willing to do something different that has not been done in our life. We have to be willing to change. And here we're talking about Moses dealing with a people that was stiff-necked. They kicked against change. They wanted to be free, but they wanted to do what they wanted to do. They didn't want to obey. They wanted to be free, but they didn't want to be obedient. Just imagine that. They wanted to be free out of slavery. They didn't want to no longer get any, beaten, whipping. They don't want to get treated like a slave, but yet they themselves did not want to conform to order. They didn't want to line up and be obedient to what God wants to do, what wanted to do. They wanted to be free, but then they're free to do what they wanted to do in their own way. Which, God wasn't, if they were just patient with God and understand that when he saw the big picture, God was trying to lead them to a place of fear or freedom. But at the same time, he wasn't trying to get them there to let them be there by themselves or let them be self-ruled in this situation because he brought them out. Only thing he wanted them to do was give them proper respect, and obey. But they wanted to do it their way. So in the midst of this, it just took this travel, as Moses began to lead them on, they murmured, complained, they give Moses a hard time. I mean, here this guy is just with his hand separating the Red Sea, causing everything. He's leading people by fire at night, by cloud by day, and all of these different things are happening. But then at the same time, they yet complained about everything. Nothing was good enough for them. No matter what God did, it was good for the moment, but then it'll go right back to murmuring and complaining. So you can imagine. See, back at the time, they didn't have Excedrin, they didn't have Advil, but just imagine the headache Moses had to deal with all day long. We know how it is in one household with a few people. Then just imagine thousands, millions of people. You have to lead, you have to lead from one place, one place or position to another, to where you're trying to get them from one state of mind, from one place to another. You're trying to get them out of the mind of slavery into the mind of being free. And many times we deal with that in our world today. And sometimes even with ourselves. As much as we have freedom, yet some of us are still bound. Much as we have freedom to live, yet we still kind of choose death. It's truth. Because some things we still choose to do, the pathway leads to death instead of life. But because we're so used to doing it, it's hard to say goodbye. It's hard to say, I got to leave it alone. It's hard to say no more, back away from it. It's hard to break that covenant that we have with those things that's not good sometimes. If we, you know, this is where our love for God has to be more than our love and desire for that thing, whatever it is we're connected to. We have to want that much more of God than we want of that thing that we have. So here it is, Moses, having this face-to-face experience with God. And, you know, he's speaking, the Bible says he's speaking to God as a man speaks to a friend. And just imagine he's been given this task that seems impossible. But at the same time, God trusts him enough to stick with him, stand with him. It took him being in God's face a good bit in order for him to be encouraged enough, to be motivated enough, to even be to care enough about these people. Because God told him, God gave him instruction. He said, I'm not gonna dwell with you here. I'll come back and check up on you, but to deal with you all day long. Some of y'all will die. This point blank, I'm going to have to kill some of y'all off because there's no way I can deal with y'all all day long. So see, God did that for their sake as well. So when we look at life and we see where God has been so gracious with us in our times of going through, where we could have deserved death for the penalty of our disobedience, but yet God chose to give us life. But then too, that might be a time where he kind of backed away from us. Now, we got hit with some other things and realized life was kind of, you know, we could tell some things were different because some kind of strange things were happening in that time, all kind of bad stuff. But at the same time, sometimes God allows that to happen in order to spare our life. Because if he allowed himself to get too close, you know, it's nothing for God to say, you know what, that's it for you. But because of Jesus, we have grace. But that doesn't give us a license to abuse that. Grace. Amen. So, as we see here, Moses is dealing with the people. But one thing with Moses, I noticed that oftentimes Moses went back. He got back in God's face. And this is where I want to really kind of chime in on, or really kind of hone in on what we were talking about tonight. Verse 13 says, go to verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou said, thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Now Moses had a question, he said, would you show me your way? You know, show me how you want me to do things, how you want me to do it. NLT version of verse 13 says, if it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. So here Moses wants to say, I want to know you. I want to get to know you. I need to know your ways so I can better serve, or I can do whatever needs to be done required. And a lot of times we don't realize is the more we take time out to know God, to read His Word, to spend time in His presence, the more He will get to know us, or far as be more acquainted with us. Amen. The Bible says, "Draw nigh to me, as I draw nigh to you." So if He's drawing near to us, He's also drawing near. As we draw near to Him, He's also drawing near to us. And there are times in our life that this is so appropriate, because especially depending on what you're going through at the time, what you're facing with, what you're dealing with, and your life and the challenges you're faced with, being in God's presence will be such an asset to us to learn how to get more in His face as we're facing our challenges, as we're going through the weight of our challenges. We need to allow ourselves the time in His presence, in His face, because being in His presence will strengthen us to carry whatever it is on our life, to carry out whatever is required for us to do. Help us to walk and complete our assignments and our tasks. It's going to take being in His presence in order for us to be empowered to fulfill it. If anyone desires to call in, the number 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Amen. So he said, I replied, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Sometimes we just need to hear, we just need to know from the Lord that everything's going to be all right. You know, it's just something about being in His presence when you can get that assurance in your spirit that, you know what, I may not know what's going on right now. This makes no sense to me. It's things that come to me from all kinds of sides and angles and everything. I don't know why certain stuff is what it is. But, Lord, I just need to know that You're with me. I just need to know that everything's going to be all right. I just need to know that if I stand my ground, You're going to bring us out. Sometimes you just have to just know just that little reassurance right there can go such a long way. And that's why you can see with Moses how often he stayed in God's face. And it was for the betterment of the people, but also for himself too. Because I know he just needed to be, just being in God's presence, it gave him a renewal, a refreshing. Even in chastisement, I'm pretty sure. Just the fact that he spent time in the presence of the Creator. See, we can't go through life thinking that we can do this thing by ourselves, or that it's not needed for us to be in God's presence. See, God's presence can bring us more relief than we can realize. And even today, I know some things may seem like, well, if we're being in God's presence or not, you're right. The situation may not change, but you will change because of Him. And sometimes we get caught on looking at the situation, not realizing God is changing us to help us to be able to withstand. That's why God told Paul that the grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. See, His grace will help you to accomplish, to endure, to change whatever situations before you. I know as far as you, the situation once again may physically not change. It may look like the same thing. But what He does in you, He prepares you, He strengthens you to bear it and to be able to press through it. So even though you may not physically see the way it's made, but you got to know that He's heard your prayer. And now He's heard your prayer, but He's also answered it. He's also provided everything you need to break you through it. Amen. I'm reminded of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, amen. And we're going to see verse 14. Okay, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Or in NLT verse says, we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. Okay, verse 15 is, if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. T version says, and since we know that he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he gives us what we ask for. Amen. So we have to be confident in the fact of who God is and that who he's, you know, and how he's delivering us and how he's setting us free. You know, we have to, even though it may not look like it's working on our behalf, but we have to believe and know that he's working on our behalf. We have to know that without a shadow of a doubt, that despite, even though it doesn't look favorable, if it looks like it's not working on our behalf, we have to trust that God, he's in control, he knows better, and that he's going to break through. Even if God didn't spell it out before us, but knowing God, knowing him, this is where we find that strength and assurance. Just like Moses said, he said, let me know you. Teach me thy ways that I may know you. This in this time of life, in this part, you know, in our challenges in life, knowing God in our most challenging go through is a key asset for us, for our survival, for our overcoming, all of that to happen. We need to know him. We need to be able to walk with him. We need to be able to be patient with God as he's also patient with us. Yes, we have to be patient with God because, see, God's time is not our time. He's not going to bring forth deliverance the same way we're thinking it's going to happen all the time. You know, he may do some things the way we expect. He may not. But the fact of the matter is, he's God. Who are you going to argue with? You can argue what you want, but God's still going to do what he desires to do. Because there's a reason why. I think I mentioned this earlier. God is not a God that just do something to keep you busy. He's not a God of busy work. Everything that God have you even require for you to do or say for you to do is for a reason. He's always working something somehow, some way towards your good. And how do I know that? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 8. So in spite of how everything looks, this is where we are. Verse 20. Okay, let's go to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also himself help our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay, the NLT says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And that he that searches the heart knows what is this mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us before the saints according to the will of God. NLT says, after the follow. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads with us, for us believers, in harmony with God's own will. The Holy Spirit is always advocating for us. He's always seeking the Lord on our behalf and knowing. See, he knows what's best for us. You got to trust that God knows you better than you know yourself. You got to trust that God knows your situation, what needs to happen. He knows what needs to be the outcome of your situation. And this is what causes us to be able to stand, pray, and believe in spite of what we see, in spite of what we sound like, in spite of what we know, what's going on. There are certain times in your situation that you may be led to pray, but in your mind you may know, or you may know something that was being said about it. If this, okay, for instance, if this thing happens on this day, that's not going to be good because this is going to happen, and that's not going to be happening because, you know, the whole thing gets shut down. Whatever case may be, you may get some bad news, bad report. But in spite of what you hear, you got to remember God's in charge. That even if it's a negative now, how can God turn a negative to a positive? How will he turn to a positive? Will you still believe even after the man says it's over? Will you still believe? See, we have to trust God in spite of what man may limit the situation to be. Man might say it can't go any further at this point. That's not God's final word. And we have to get God's final word in order to know how to stand. And if we know how to stand, we won't fall for anything. Amen. He goes on to say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. If you love God, guess what? He loves you. And that means he's going to truly, you know, call things to work on your behalf. Even if it does not look favorable, even if it doesn't look like what you would call victory. There's so many times it happens. You know, some God may allow it to happen. It may look like it's something against us, but at that time, but for somehow, some way, it works on our behalf. It may, you know, he makes things happen on our behalf. Amen. So the NLT verse says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. See, each and every one of us have a purpose. And before I go any further, the number to call, 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the cue box. Each and every one of us have a purpose. We all have a reason why we're here. There's a reason why you've been sustained when you should have been done away with. It's a reason why God spared your life. And so because God, there's a reason why, this is why we have to honor. As we honor the Lord, as we give him our best, he's going to work on our behalf. We have to trust the fact that God cares. He's, that we're his children, like how he used to teach, that Moses said to the children of Israel to God. I need to know that I'm walking, I have favor in your sight, and then that these people are your people. Moses knew and understood if he could get God the Father to acknowledge that these are his people, he'll be a little more patient with them because it's his people. Amen. And we have to, sometimes in our life, we have to be reminded of certain things so we can be patient with God and our situation. Sometimes we want everything to happen in just like that, but sometimes there's a reason why things are delayed. There's a reason why some things are denied. So as God helps us to endure, with our endurance, he's going to bring forth a crazy manifestation. Some things are going to happen. It's going to go beyond what you can ask to think. We have to trust that. According to his purpose. God does not specialize in busy work. There's a reason for God to give us everything or bring forth everything that he's bringing forth in our life. Amen. So, as we understand what God is saying in this hour, what he's doing, truly he's preparing us for greater things. He's doing a special work in us for us to know his ways. And this is why for us to know him, that face to face, you're talking about that face to face experience. This is why no matter what we go through on this earth, spending time in God's presence will always give us the endurance, give us the patience, give us the heart to endure our hardship, even our challenges in life, even the outcomes of our life. Because every outcome may not be what we call great. Every outcome may not make sense. Every outcome may not feel good. Every outcome may not look like what you call victory. It may look like a victim, but not a victory. That even in the midst of being a victim to certain situations, God still can change the turnaround for our good. Amen. If anyone desires to call, once again, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-16. Press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. So, amen. So, as we trust the Lord, we're going to see him do more and more. Let's go to Psalm 63. Yeah. That face-to-face experience. Knowing God. See, we have to know him. We have to spend time in his presence. We have to understand his ways. Because it's hard to try and figure out God when you have no which way to turn. You don't understand this thing or that thing, but everything looks foreign. But that's where we can trust that God's love. It's going to produce on our behalf. It's going to work. Amen. One second, please. Amen. So, one second. Okay. So, okay. Now, start of verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry, thirsty land where no water is. See, there's a dilemma there. There's no water in that place. And wherever it is that he is, the resources are limited according to man's, you know, resources. They're limited. Opposition, obstacles going on. He said, oh God, thou art my God. You are my God. Early will I seek thee. The NLT verse says, oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for thee. Parched and weary land where no water is, where there is no water. See, we need in our most challenging times to be in his presence. We need to search for him. We need to have a thirst to be before him. The Bible says that anyone that thirsts or hunger after righteousness shall be filled. If we're not hungry enough, if we want to eat, we're not hungry enough, we're not going to pursue. And this is what we see a lot today. We see people who are very convenient to love God, but when it comes to suffering, when it comes to going through, when it comes to persevering in our challenges, it's hard for people to do that. It's hard for people to hold on when the opposition, when it doesn't look favorable, when the opposition is against them. It's hard for them to see they even believe that God is doing this, God's allowing some things to happen for their good. We cannot be caught up on the way things look. We have to know that God is who he is. Verse 2, I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Why, bro? In the King James verse says, "To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." He said, "I've seen your power and your glory." So, because he's seen his power and glory, now these children of Israel, they've seen his power and glory, but yet they choose not to believe. And here he says, "To see thy power and glory, as I've seen in thy sanctuary." Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Because I will bless thee while I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. That in spite of the opposition, in spite of the challenges, then we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to praise him. We're going to lift him up. In spite of the challenges, we're still going to spend time in his presence to know him. See, it's very easy to allow yourself to go into depression when things may not work the way it needs to work out. Why? Because it's a spiritual way of defeat. You know, we allow defeat to come so easy sometimes. Here it is, the first thing we get hit with, instead of us standing our ground and keep believing, it's easy for us to give in to, oh, I guess God didn't want to be like that. That's why he's allowing the challenges to come at me. We can't so easily give in to the challenges of life. We're going to be challenged on every side. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tried and proven. We're going to go through those changes. But that doesn't mean for us to lay down and just take whatever we'll take from the enemy. the enemy will, he can only throw forth or bring forth, but it's up to us how far he gets. It's up to us how far he goes. See, if we don't learn how to make a stand, it's going to be very hard to accomplish anything for God. He said, he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not the one who seek him one time and say, I prayed, and that's it. No, you're going to have to seek him more than that one time. You're going to have to be able to endure your enduring. Whatever you have to endure, you have to be able to endure. I mean, whatever you're going through, you have to endure that. Once again, it's very easy to give up and quit when things are not convenient. It's very easy to throw your hands up and retire when things aren't going your way. But what does it take to endure? Moses had to do that. Moses had to endure a lot of people's attitudes, complaints. He had to endure their murmuring because their stomach growling. They're calling to say, Moses, you're going to leave us in Egypt. We're suffering because they're hungry. Well, no, they're going through a whole lot worse over there. They got their beaten, and then they probably eat on. But then again, they probably eat like clockwork. But sometimes, if the masters decide to get be upset about it, I'm pretty sure they held back their food too. But sometimes it's very easy for us to stay in bondage than to receive versus freedom, and they were having a hard time with this. At a time that they should be rejoicing and be grateful and persevere through this just transitional moment. See, this is transition. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of us right now are having a hard time with transition. Things, you know, even though God is taking you from one place in him to another, but we're having a hard time because in transition, things may not be the way it used to be. Challenges might come. Money may be funny. You know, friends may be few. You may not have the certain freedom you used to have when you were going through, before you started going through the season, everything was at your fingertips. Now you have to work a little harder to get some things. See, so now it gets a little uncomfortable because now you're being pulled out of your comfort zone, or your comfort zone is being challenged. And so now your comfort is being threatened by the enemy, because here now you feel like when things was easy on your, you know, to your hand, now it may not be. So now you're looking at God kind of funny. Amen.
Amen.
We have to, amen.
Yes. This is Minister Aaron, Apostle, mm-hmm. And one of the things that you were saying about Romans 8:28. For we know all things work for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. You know, in the Bible, you see it all through the Bible. When someone was maybe trying to kill the prophets, like let's say Jeremiah dealing with I want to say Bathsheba, but it's not Bathsheba, and I apologize. I'm just having tip of tongue syndrome. However, the prophets and Jezebel, you know, was trying to kill him, you know, and God had him to come back, you know, even when we look at Daniel being thrown in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown in the fiery furnace, and Joseph said it best himself when he said when he told his brothers, thought that Joseph was going to have him killed, was going to have all the rest of them killed because of what they did to him after Israel had died. And Joseph told him, he said, what you did, you meant for evil, but God turned it around for the good. And that goes right back to Romans 8:28.
Yes.
For we know that all things, hallelujah, good and bad, work for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. It's not until we go through something like that and we persevere and we come through it, amen, that where God gets the glory, because now we've been established tell somebody about what they may be going through, because you already been through what they've been through. I can't tell somebody about homosexuality when I've never experienced it. If it hadn't never attacked me, you know. So being that I've been through it, you know, thank God that, you know, hey, I've been established and homosexual is not what God has called me to be, but He's called me to preach against it, to tell somebody, hey, you don't have to be that way. God is a deliverer. Amen. Amen. And you know, so much of it, things. So, you know, so anytime we do go through some things, you know, it's a spiritual warfare. You know, when things is going hard at us, you know, and there's nothing that we could do about it but fall down on our knees. That's why God say, when you're weak, my strength is made perfect at that time, because now you don't have nothing, you can't do nothing but call on Him.
Yes.
And give it all to Him. Amen.
Amen. And then you have no choice but to wait. Because, see, sometimes it's the waiting that gets us. You know,
that's
in the
right.
Midst of the waiting. You know, and what do you do while you wait? When we pray and asking God for direction, and we pray and asking God to help us through a situation, and He doesn't respond. What do you do in the waiting? And that's why, you know, we have to learn to worship while we wait, because we keep in our minds focused on Him and trusting that He has it. We don't have to try to take it back and do it ourselves. Just because God didn't return your call, that don't mean He didn't get the call. That doesn't mean that He didn't get the call. He didn't hear the request. You know, trust me, I know waiting is easier said than talking.
That's
you
right.
know, but at the same time, but this is part of that face to face relationship, that relationship with God that helps us to endure. As while we're waiting for the manifestation of God, stay in contact, stay in His face, stay in fellowship while we're waiting for the manifestation, while we're waiting for the outcome, waiting for the breakthrough. Amen. While we're waiting for the thing to happen that we've been expecting God to do, we must, you know, stay in being in contact with God, staying plugged into Him keeps us sane. Because when we're not in His presence, that's when things can get real crazy, because our mind begins to drift and the enemy begins to have a field day with that. He begins to tell you all kind of stuff, having you thinking that God, you know, He turns back on you and all kind of stuff, and God never cared about you, and all kind of stuff that you do, you know, while you open, you know, you if you're not occupying your mind with the Word. That's why He said in Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4, He keeps you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because He trusts in the Lord. As long as you, then you got Psalm 112, verse 7, my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He said, I will not be afraid of evil tidings. I can't be afraid of bad news. I can't be afraid of no news. I can't be afraid of how things may look. I can't, because even though it may look impossible, I can't put my faith to saying it's impossible. Because if I say my faith is impossible, I just nullify anything God was doing. Because I've judged it according to my faith. I let my faith judge it according to what I saw, not by what I believe. And that's why believing, for believers, believing is seeing, not seeing is believing. We have to believe according to what we see, what we know in the Spirit. We have to believe according to what we trust in the Word. We have to believe beyond what we see in the natural, because what we see in the natural is temporary, but what we don't see in the Spirit, that's the permanent thing. That's the thing that's going to stay fixed. That's the thing that God is bringing in the past.
Yeah.
So we're going to be challenged. We're going to be proven. And God, He's allowing us to be challenged. He's allowing us to be tested in our season of going through, because He also want to prove us in our heart. Because some of us have some things that, you know, we need to get right. There's some things we want to deal with. See, let me say, until the right pressure get on some of us, the true us will never come out. See, we'll show the stage side to people. The part that we want them to see. Oh, but you get hit with the right kind of storm, you can't hide no more. you coming out with the woodwork. You coming out because you just be like, oh my, I'm surprised they're acting like that. No, they're not surprised. Don't be surprised. That's the truth. That's the true person right there. See, some stuff can be funded. You know, some people put up a good front. But really, when they're tested under pressure, is when you see what's really in the heart. And that's when you say we love him. But okay, it's easy to say we love God when there's no opposition, when there's no pressure, there's no strain, there's no challenge. We can say how much we love God all day. But only when we get under that pressure, or when that pressure get on us, now we will see how deep is that love for real. Can we love him past what we're going through? Or will we begin to blame God? Will come off on God because we're going through something. See, being a child of God is not a thing where it should be only when things are good. God is still good even if things aren't good.
Amen.
His goodness never changed. Amen. So
amen.
Truly, amen. So truly, all things do work together. See, all things work together for the good. Work out for our good, you know, speaking for those, especially for those who are called according to his purpose. See, there's purpose in us. If you
That's
have
right.
a purpose in God, it's going to work out for your good. If you have, you know, you have a destiny in God, it's going to work out for your good. Amen. Even though you may not understand the thing that's happening, but you got to trust and know that God will bring it to pass. You got to know, not according to what we see with our limited sight. So you got to remember, we are finite, but God is infinite.
Amen.
So, amen. So we trust him, amen. We choose to trust him in those times of going through, amen. But, yes, absolutely. Thank you very much for the comment. Yeah, amen.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that point. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Because see, Joseph could even say, you know, how things, because Joseph went through so much. Joseph went to jail, didn't even do anything wrong. He went through so much stuff. He got left in jail. People forgot about him. All of that, all those challenges that happened. But it all still worked out for his good in the end. But that's why
that's
we can't despise our process. Amen. We look at
right.
our life. We can point out. Maybe 10 things that went wrong that shouldn't have gone wrong according to how we live. If we say, well, Lord, I've been living right with you. I don't know why that happened. I've been doing good. Why did that happen? You know, but all of these things happen for a reason and for a point of time. Some things happen because as God may use as a preserver. Some things are used to preserve us. You know, instead of cause some things we go through, and if we would have kept on going the way we were going, they could have ended in death for real. But some things God allowed to happen to slow us down so we can have that epiphany moment, that moment to where the reality hit us, that God is really actually working on our side.
Amen.
Through the storm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for that. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you don't mind, I would also like to say you were saying about how it seemed like, you know, you may be going through something, you praying, and it seemed like God is not answering, or you know, sometimes he allows us to go through, and he wants us to persevere. The Bible says itself, you know, he says. Let patience have her perfect work, you know. If you have that patience, you know, I could imagine what Joseph went through, you know what I'm saying, going through all of those years of being in prison and then coming out and then going back in because Potiphar's wife lied and said that he tried to rape her. And then, you know, but Didn't God allow that patience to have his perfect work when Joseph came up to be second to nobody but the king of Egypt? I mean that's a perfect work. And and what did he do through that? You know, he was also able to save many people plus his own family. And you know that's God's patience having his perfect work. God is not forgetting about you. God is remembering. Hallelujah. All, you know, he's remembering his servant, you know.
Yeah.
He's remembering the faithfulness because, you know, in Hebrews it says it's hard to, I mean, you can't please God without faith, amen.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have that faith. And that,
yes,
that faith is going to operate patience because you already have the faith in God that you need to keep going on and keep persevering, even when things look like the bottom done broke loose on you, you know, knowing that God is bigger than the bottom. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
He's bigger than any trouble. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. Yes, and that's the thing we have to realize too, that even as Joseph was going through that, he had to be careful what he said too, because a lot
that's
of
right.
times we can, it's very easy to start speaking against our own destiny, not realizing it. You know, we could be going to say things like, "Man, stuff always be happening to me. Man, we always, you know, we're using absolute words. Not if, you know, you're sabotaging your own future."
That's right.
The more we say that, do we wonder why things, the more things keep happening? Well, you're calling it in.
Yes,
and now you begin to put yourself in a box that you created.
That's right.
Yeah. See, we can't look at God funny. Well, God said, "I didn't say that. I didn't put you there. You created that own box." You remember the creative ability that's in us. And that's why while we're going through our storms, we have to be very strategical and remember this. In our times we're going through, that is the most critical time to be careful what we say.
Yes.
Many times I had to learn, that's why it's best to hold your peace until you know exactly what you're saying. Because if you start speaking out of your emotion and out of your need for what you're going through at that time, we can begin to set us back further and further away from what God wanted. Your breakthrough could have been right there. Your few words pushed the whole thing back.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So we have to definitely be careful. Amen. Because
yeah.
God is definitely wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have what we want us to have. But at the same time, we have to trust him in spite of how it looks. And really work hard as we can to hold, because I know it's hard and it's a challenge, because all of us have faced that, and that's Alex. I'm learning, and still sometimes you have to catch yourself. You know, you might find yourself saying something. You have to go back and say, "Lord, I renounce that. I know I recall those words to be back. Cancel it in Jesus' name." Be mindful. Be very careful what you put out there. Because remember,
that's
your
right.
word, you see, the words I speak are spirit and life. So
that's
you're
right.
putting out spirit and life, you're creating stuff in the atmosphere. You wonder why certain things are happening? Well, look at the return address. Who is it? Look at the return
okay.
address. You sent it out there, but look at the return address. Who sent it? Who sent that?
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes we send things that we don't realize. Amen. And we wonder, well, who sent this thing against me? Look at the return address. Oh, I did that. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Hey, Apostle, I apologize to keep coming, but you know, it's this. I love this teaching, and it's so on time. And I want to say this, and then I won't say nothing else. I'm gonna let you have it. But if you know. When you look at Romans chapter 8, and you come all the way down to verse 30, you know, and it says, you know, when we go through the things that we go through and we persevere and we come through with the victory, God gets the glory, right? Amen?
Mm-hmm. Right, yep.
God gets the glory. Well, not only is God gonna get the glory, but God also wanna you know, when God is glorified, He also wants to glorify us. Amen. I mean, that's Bible. So you know, like in verse 30, it say, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And when we look at Jesus in John, when he was talking about when he rose Lazarus, when he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, amen, it said, Jesus said himself, he said that this sickness didn't come for the death of Lazarus, but it came so that the Son of Man might be glorified. Amen. And it was a few times when, you know, Jesus was telling his disciples, you know, his time wasn't yet. It wasn't yet time for him to be crucified. Why? Because the Son of Man hasn't been glorified yet. You know, it wasn't until when he raised Lazarus from the dead, and then he got that glorification from God. Then guess what? Then that's when Satan came on in, and you know, all the things happened to Jesus, and he wound up being crucified, because that first glorification wasn't the only glorification that Jesus was to get. Amen. He was also gonna get that getting up from the dead glorification. Amen. Amen. And you know, everything worked for the good of those who love God, and Jesus loved God. Amen.
Amen. And you know, sometimes Jesus allows some situations to be dead in our life, because he knows that if that situation is still alive, it'll kill you.
Yes.
Because he knows, once again, he knows us, he knows where we are, he knows what's good for us, and he knows what's not good for us. And he had to let some King Isaiah die in our life in order for us to see him, to be able to see him clearly. Because as long as the idol was in our life, as long as that person, that thing, that situation was there, we couldn't see God. We didn't understand how to appreciate God. And so he had to truly allow us to be challenged in that area, and then he had to allow some things to die off, or he had to kill it. God just had to kill it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so we wonder why some things had to be so. So, amen. Even, what's his name there? That was the name of that God, Dagon. For those people, they didn't know the glory of God until God's glory had to show up. Until God had to basically show his power inside that room with Dagon and God. Yes, I mean, they thought that Dagon, they would put the Ark of the Covenant next to the Dagon and God. There would
That's
be no
right.
other God before him. See, that's what they had to see firsthand. There's no other God before him.
That's right.
And see, when he did that's when they realized, you know what, we ain't going to be fooling this. Let's get this one back. Oh, no, thank you. You know.
All right.
Amen. Okay, well, amen. Well, praise God. We thank you for that. Amen for the input, and amen for what God is, you know, definitely revealing and showing forth. Amen. But truly, thank God for the face-to-face experience and for what he had with Moses. Let us see truly that we need that experience with God. We need that face-to-face experience with God to where he's real. You know, see, the face-to-face experience is where God is so real to you that he's a part of you. He's with you always. And, you know, because he said he didn't dwell with the people, the children of Israel. But it didn't say that he didn't dwell with Moses. See, he dwelt with Moses, you know, and even stood before Moses. And Moses stood before him. So that goes to show you his relationship with Moses was different with his relationship with the people.
Amen.
As a leader, we got to remember our relationship with God is different than our relationship with the people. That's why God set us apart as leaders. Because we're positioned to lead. That's why we can't be caught in the congregation and out of being out of place. We have to stay in our place and be ahead. And in the sense of be ahead and apart from the people. So our relationship with the people is going to be different from our relationship with God. So we can properly lead them. Amen. Because sometimes you're too close to people, you can't see them. You're too close to people, the respect is not there. So that's why God had to say, you know what, I got to keep you all away. Because they weren't respecting God to be who he is, because they weren't, even though they cried out for God, and how can I say, ancestry, like ancestors. You know, they did ancestors cried out for God, deliverance. But this set that actually got deliverance didn't know God like that. See, the old mothers and fathers probably cried out to God because they knew of him. But then when this group here, the ones that actually came out of Egypt, they didn't know God like that.
Yes,
so, of course, their connection with God, they didn't honor God the way they ought to honor. See, if that happened to the former ones who passed, the older ones, they would have appreciated the things God did because they understood his nature. This one here, they didn't understand God. They didn't understand his ways. So because of that, they had a hard time understanding how awesome God really was. To do the thing he did and yet tolerate them at the same time, that is an awesome God. So, amen. We praise God for each and every one, and I pray that you were blessed with the teaching on tonight, and we encourage you to build your relationship to you have so you can have that face-to-face experience with God. And you can know how to go to him in the midst of your going through. That's the time, you know, and then keep in mind, don't wait until you're going through to get to know him. Because to try to wait till we go into something to get to know him is not going to work on our behalf either. You know what I mean? It's not going to be good for us. So truly spend time with him before you get to that point, and so you can truly develop and know his ways before you get to the time that you need him to show up in your life. So praise God. Father, we bless you, Lord God. We thank you for each and every one on the call tonight. We thank you for this call. We thank you for blessing your people, Lord God, and we thank you for sharing your heart and even your mind. And I thank you for causing us to now recover, to go forth to greater things in Jesus' name. Thank you for the manifestation of change. Thank you for your heart that's being expressed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for doing great and mighty things through each and every one, Lord God, that they will take your word, they shall apply your word, and they shall begin to know him, this faith experience. Lord God, they shall truly apply the word to their lives and allow themselves to build a relationship with you face-to-face, Lord God. And so we thank you for the challenge, for the change that's going to come forth in their life, that's going to help them to endure hard times and challenges in Jesus' name. They will not be hoodwinked by the enemy, but they will be awakened, and they shall see the change and shall understand the purpose of the change in Jesus' name. So, Father, thank you for displaying your presence, your power, your anointing. Lord God, let us experience you like never before. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless you, and we thank you right now in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we thank you for that person tonight who needs to know you, Lord. We ask you, Lord God, to help them who desire to know you tonight. As we go forth now, we think of it. If there's anyone on the line that you need to know, Lord, as you want to know, get to know, Lord, you want to be saved, and you want to be set free and delivered. Amen. Pray this prayer. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, that you rose on the third day. And, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And I surrender all to you. I give you my life. And I give you my ways. And I thank you for teaching me and training me the way you would have me to go, that I can live a life that's pleasing you in Jesus' name. I surrender all. I receive you as Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And for the one who needs to be rededicated, who needs to rededicate your life back to the Lord, Lord, I thank you for this time. I ask you to forgive me for my sins for going astray. Thank you for bringing me back into right fellowship with you. Jesus, yes, you died and rose for me. I thank you for a reconnection. Thank you for a new covenant walk, that I should live a life that's pleasing before you, and I should go forth to achieve the greatness that you call me to in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, thank you for reconnection, for a new beginning, a new stance in you. I submit now, and I receive change now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good night. And see you next week. Amen. Bye-bye.
Amen. Good night. God bless.
Don't go and say things about my father. To live in, he gave.